Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Now, we begin with the commemoration of the resurrection, and Caroline is going to read to us the account in Luke.
On the first day of the week, at early dawn, the women who had accompanied Jesus came to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their heads to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you, while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again."
Thank you very much. We have here the Paschal candle. I'm going to try and show it to you. They always have the year on them. Can you see that? It says 2020. Yes, 20 there and 20 there. And we insert into the Paschal candle five pins, and they are to represent the five wounds of Christ. This is a very traditional ancient thing, because this candle itself is a sort of picture of Jesus, the light of the world, who was pierced for our sake. And so this will be a stand for Jesus, the risen Lord, who is the light of the world. That's the good news we stand for. So we bless this candle in his name. Christ yesterday and today, the beginning and the end, Alpha and Omega, all time belongs to him. And all the ages. To him be glory and power through every age, forever. Amen. I'm going to light the candle now. And you are invited, if you have a candle at home, to light your own candle as well. May the light of Christ, rising in glory, dispel the darkness of our hearts and minds. Amen. And now, dear friends, that great moment, we're going to greet each other with the Easter greeting. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen again.
Say it again. I think we should do that again. It's such a marvellous thing. James is shaking his head thinking, oh gosh, I've got to deal with all these complex technical things. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Alleluia.
Christ is risen.
Alleluia. Alleluia.
I hope on the screen it's Jesus Christ is risen today.
Thank you.
we pray. God of glory, by the raising of your Son, you have broken the chains of death and hell. Fill your church with faith and hope, for a new day has dawned and the way to life stands open in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. And now, friends, we're going to hear a reading from Acts, read to us by Liz.
Peter began to speak to those assembled in the house of Cornelius. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all the people, but to us, who were chosen by God as witnesses, and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. And of course, in church, we always have the gospel reading. It's the central thing for us, really, of the word. And today we're going to hear the passage describing the resurrection from John. And it's going to be read to us by Andres.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed, for as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? For whom are you looking? Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabuni, which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. And so may I speak in the name of God, the living God, Father, Son, and Spirit. Amen. It's the most peculiar Easter. It's been a most strange Lent. This is something we would never have dreamt of. And yet here we are, and we're celebrating the same faith. And the same Lord Jesus Christ is still our Lord, the Lord, in fact, we believe, of heaven and earth, one who has authority as the one who went through all the suffering of the cross and was raised by the Father. And so it's very, very remarkable that our faith has got this strange flexibility. We love our church, our buildings, but we're not there right now. And actually, our faith preceded church buildings, and maybe it's going to carry on when we don't have them anymore. Who knows? But right now, we are where we are. And the exciting thing is that we have this wonderful story to celebrate this account of something amazing that happened. And it could have been delivered, I suppose, by an almighty God in a sort of formula sent down from heaven in a kind of very clinical kind of way, a bit like one of the laws of nature or something like that. But actually, we know that salvation came through a human being, through Jesus, who was from God. It came to us in the form of a person, in the shape of a person. It came to us in one who comes as a friend, as a brother, as a savior, a rescuer. So our faith and the central things about it are both very human as well as totally divine. And we have the account of Mary. It's one of the stories, of course, which we really love, the story of Mary going to the tomb. Mary Magdalene was a woman. She came from Magdala. That's what it means. Magdala is a little place on the Sea of Galilee, a little fishing village like Capernaum. She was from there. Some people believe that she had been a prostitute. We don't know, but elsewhere it tells us that she had 7 demons cast out of her by Jesus. She was someone who evidently saw in him something quite remarkable and wonderful. She was drawn to him and had a passionate attachment to him, but it wasn't the kind of passionate attachments that we perhaps quite used to. This was something far deeper, richer, and wider, but certainly she was the unlikely person who was the first witness. And the amazing great good news there is that, of course, in traditional Jewish law at the time, a woman's testimony was not the same at all as a man's. And yet the person who was likely to be disregarded by others was the one who was used by God. And so she was there, went to the tomb, found the stone rolled away, and the tomb being empty. Obviously, extraordinarily distressing, and confusing. Right now, in our lockdown country, we feel confused, we feel distressed. All kinds of things are going on in people's homes across the land. Of course, we're watching far too much television and probably eating far too much food and all those things that are going on everywhere. But actually underneath, there's a lot of distress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of tears. A lot of people are very tired, even though they've got lots of time to sleep. And when I speak to people on the phone, this is what I'm learning. So Mary's confusion and anguish and distress is not so far from where we are. And she went to that garden looking for, I don't know, perhaps a feeling she could get near to him again, or she needed to bring some perspective. In the same way that people today visit the tombs of their friends and family members long after they've died. She found the tomb empty. It must have been very, very disturbing. There is something disturbing as well about this prospect of the resurrection, new life, that God has got a different agenda, a more wonderful agenda than we can think of. Mary ran back to the others. This is why she's called the apostle to the apostles. She was sent by Jesus, and she went back and told Peter. And they came running, and they went and had a look too. It's amazing, isn't it? Because even when Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one we believe was John, when they went in and saw things, they also had puzzlement. Actually, we're not really told what Peter had in his mind, but the one that we believe to be John, it simply says this: he saw and believed. And of course, for John, the disciple John, there is this kind of lucid quality about his believing and his love. It's something which has inspired Christians ever since. Yes, he saw and believed. But it simply says, for as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. We've been given that truth, of course, so we should understand it. But the truth is, we still are approaching this great morning of wonder. And it's actually that sense of wondering, which is one of the great doorways to believing. It says, then the disciples returned to their homes. What goes on in their minds, and we don't know what really is going on with Peter, he can be quite inscrutable sometimes. Well, we don't know. They went to their homes, but Mary was the one who had this profound, authentic relationship with Jesus. And that's when she encounters him. And the wonderful thing, there are many wonderful things about this account, but one of the truly wonderful things is that she recognizes him at the moment that he addresses her by her name. Our faith has got at the heart of it something quite profoundly personal. Of course, when we're able to receive communion, that really is what comes through. We're able to receive communion and there is a personal connection. But actually, the faith also tells us, because it's written, isn't it, in Matthew, Jesus says, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. He's present. He's with us. He's the risen Lord. The lockdown is not as terrible as we think. There's, in fact, something wonderful in this world that we've been given by an extraordinary and wonderful God. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher. Let's pledge ourselves anew to spend time with him, to maybe read these scriptures, to say again, Rabboni, to the Lord, you are our teacher. That word Rabboni is actually rabbi, but it's an affectionate form of the word. which is really very beautiful. Let's pray that this Easter time will be a time of joy, even though we're locked down. Let's pray that the light of Christ will shine into all the troubled hearts, troubled places, the distressing and difficult places of our hospitals and our homes across this land and around the world. Let's really pray that we will do our part. We will come to prayers in a moment, but firstly, we're going to have an affirmation of faith. It's rooted actually in the scriptures. This is from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Sidwell's going to lead us in this affirmation. It's a very traditional one for Easter time.
Now let us declare our faith in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures. He was buried. He was raised to life on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. Afterwards, he appeared to his followers and all the apostles. This we have received. This we believe. Amen.
And we're now going to turn to our prayers of intercession. Today they're going to be led by Sidwell and myself. And so let us still ourselves. In these prayers for Easter Day, we're using the response to Lord of Life, the words, hear our prayer. Lord of Life, hear our prayer.
Jesus, our way, our truth, and our life, be alongside us and with all who follow you in the way. We pray for our sisters and brothers in the world, in the worldwide church. We remember the churches around us and all the churches which have cradled our faith and shaped our lives as your disciples. Deepen our appreciation of your truth and fill us anew with your abundant life. Lord of life,
hear our prayer. Jesus, light of the world, bring the light and peace of your gospel to our country and all the nations of the world at this very dark time. We pray to you for all hospitals, nurses and doctors, all paramedics and support staff. Build the teamwork and mutual reliance of all involved in delivering the new NHS Nightingale Hospital in the heart of our parish. We ask you to be with them, to bring healing through their care and to protect them in their work. Lord of life, hear our prayer.
Jesus, bread of life, give your food to all the hungry. In this time of trial, sustain us with the strength to go on loving each other, serving our neighbor, and taking our own part in the national endeavor to overcome the challenges facing us all. Nourish us, our families, our friends and neighbors with all the encouragement, patience, and love which we need. Lord of life,
hear our prayer. Jesus, good shepherd, who gave your life for the sheep. Recover the straggler, bind up the injured, strengthen the sick, and lead the healthy and strong to new pastures. We pray for Ernie Shields, Andrew Beacom, and all others known to us who need your touch of love today. May they and we find you the same, yesterday, today, and forever, the shepherd and guardian of our souls. Lord of life, hear our prayer.
Jesus, the resurrection and the life, we give you thanks for all who have lived and believed in you. We praise you for the extraordinary accomplishment of your people. Though through the ages, those who brought civilization, medicine, education, justice, peace, and truth, all these good things which we speak of your kingdom. We pray for all your people in our own day. Raise us with those who have gone before to full and eternal life. Risen Lord, in your mercy
hear us. Accept our prayers
and be with us always. Amen.
Thank you, Sidwell. I'll just point out that last week, Sidwell was wearing a surplice and his beautiful red stole. And so I thought, well, I've got to make sure I'm properly dressed for this occasion on Easter Day. So I'm wearing the right kit. But he's got one stage further on me, and now he's wearing a chasuble. And in fact, that's appropriate because he's going to be leading us in a celebration of the communion later. Of course, we can't all receive, but at least Sidwell, his family, at the end of the service, they will be able to receive. And so let's use that time of thanksgiving in the Eucharistic prayer later to just give a real good thanks for everything that this season truly, truly means. But now we're going to share the peace together. And I'm going to say the kind of formal liturgical words. And I'm hoping through the magic of Zoom that Sidwell's going to kind of call a few people in, at least just a few, to just sort of say hello. We can all wave at each other and all of that. I think that's really nice. Soon we'll be able to actually see each other in person. That's going to be even better. And so the risen Lord stood amongst his disciples and said these words to them, "Peace be with you." And it says that they were then glad when they saw the risen Lord. And so everyone in the wider St. Anne's community, I need to say to you, the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
The Lord is here.
His spirit
is with us. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Blessed are you, Lord God, and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By your great mercy, we have been born anew to a living hope through the resurrection of your Son from the dead and into an inheritance which is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Once we were no people, but now we are your people, declaring your wonderful deeds in Christ, who calls us out of darkness into the marvelous light. The joy of resurrection fills the whole world, and therefore we join the angels and the archangels and the whole company of heaven in song of unending praise, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, as we follow his example and obey his command. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed, he took bread and he gave it thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension. We look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make a memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise, as we eat and drink these holy gifts in the presence of your divine majesty. Renew us by your spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him, and with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. And now, standing at the foot of the cross, as our Savior taught us, so we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we died with you on the cross, and now we are raised to new life. We were buried in your tomb, and now we share in your resurrection. Live in us, that we may live in you. Amen.
And so we're going to come now to join together in singing what's, I think, the greatest of the Easter hymns. And it is the wonderful, wonderful hymn, Thine Be the Glory. I'm absolutely amazed by the two hymns we've had. I'm amazed that the choir have been able to do that. Of course, it sounds as though they've all got together in a recording studio. That's not really true. What they've done is they've sung individually at home, probably into smartphones, I guess. And James has very cleverly managed to put all that together. I think it's an amazing achievement, James. A big thank you to you and all the musicians. And if we could actually get those hymns as sort of files, we could maybe put them on the website. I don't know if that's possible. It'd be rather fun. Or if we could indeed tweet them or something, it'd be great fun, because let's spread the joy. We all need it, don't we? And I really think that was just great. And it's so uplifting. So a big thank you. In a moment or two, and you'll notice, if you can see James on his screen, that actually Ellen is with him. And of course, they are down to be wed later in the year. So we're very much praying that the whole country will be in a different situation by then, of course. But they're working together for God's glory. And in fact, they've played a voluntary for the end of this service, which is one of those whacking great organ pieces. James doesn't have those facilities, but he does have a piano, and they played it on the piano. So it's a four hands production, and we're going to be hearing that very soon. After the blessing, the voluntary will come in. That gives you a moment to dash away, get your cup of coffee, and come back, and then we can all just sort of chat to each other or say hello or whatever we want to do, insofar as it works across this crackers medium that we're using, but it's kind of wonderful too. If you would like to give feedback, you know, we're still trying to learn how to do all this. It's not easy. If you'd like to give feedback, it'd be so appreciated and so helpful. We are going to be having a Sunday service every Sunday until we can return to church, and which would be a joy to get back to that. But anyway, meanwhile, a prayer, a blessing. And may this blessing truly be upon you and upon your household, upon your life, upon your health, upon your heart, your thinking, and your feeling at this extremely difficult time. And may it too rest upon our country. God, our Father, by whose glory Christ was raised from the dead, strengthen you to walk with him in his risen life. And so the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit truly be upon you and remain with you always. Amen. ¶¶